Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
How's it going out there in podcast land?
Podcast land.
Well, it's not radio land. I almost said radio land.
Hello in TV land.
That would have been very confusing, I guess. I guess there isn't really a land for podcasting, right? I mean,
it's more of an ocean, I imagine it. I like to think of it as a cloud. It's like a big cloud full of podcasts rather than a land.
Okay. It's kind of a, you know, I don't know.
I am sober.
Yeah. Oh, well, that makes one of us. Oh, thanks everyone for tuning in or downloading up or uploading down.
Uploading down?
No. What is, I don't know.
Subscribing?
Yes. To the Not a Thing podcast.
Ear ingesting? Those yummy sounds of Not a Thing podcast. Yeah.
We're glad everyone that is listening has a chance to listen and has been hopefully holding steady this week. The stuff that's happening in Boston is extremely crappy, but I like to think that it's kind of, you know, a good thing to try and get back to normal as soon as possible. So we're doing our best. We're recording it on Tuesdays like we do. I don't know. I don't really have too much to say about the stuff, nor do I feel like it's necessarily appropriate for us on a semi-comedic podcast. Hopefully you think it's kind of comedic.
I would just say the same thing that we've said previously on in other instances, that violence in the real world, not a thing. Violent, fictional violence, a thing.
Yeah, so, you know, I hope we can give you a little bit of a distraction while we can. So we're going to jump right in into something that I think, you know, fictional violence, I guess. You're kind of jumping on what are Goombas? Are they mushrooms? Do you know?
I don't even know. All I know is I've been smashing them for years.
Right, so...
it's more like bopping them. I don't even think of it as smashing them. It's so, like you're tagging them, they're it, and they're out.
Yeah, but they're not getting squashed. They're kind of just falling out of the... Are they getting squashed? Maybe they are.
I think some get squashed.
Yeah. I feel like, though, if you jump on them in midair, they just kind of flip over and then fall down.
Maybe they fall into a parallel game. The under game or something.
Isn't that World 1-2? Isn't that how that works? So, if you haven't guessed, we're talking about Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo Entertainment System, as it is sometimes called, the NES. I don't know who actually calls it that.
Is that what that stands for?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You heard it here first, folks. The Nintendo Entertainment System. But yeah.
No, I just heard it here first.
I always just called it Nintendo.
Yeah, it's a Nintendo.
Right. Like Super NES. Never happened. But anyway.
You mean a Super Nintendo?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's Nintendo, there's Super Nintendo, there's Game Boy.
Nintendo 64?
Yeah.
And then they went GameCube. They kind of dropped the Nintendo as the name of the thing.
And they also dropped that console because it sucked balls.
That was pretty bad. The the controller was kind of weird. I mean, I feel like, did they use the same one as the Nintendo 64 for the GameCube?
No, it was awkward.
Okay.
It was like a halfway between Nintendo 64 and an Xbox.
Okay.
Or PlayStation.
Yeah, I don't remember how it worked. I feel like because the Nintendo 64 one was kind of weird. That was that three-pronged one. Anyway,
you've all played these controls. If you haven't, then you don't care.
Right. So what we're talking about is the original Nintendo, Super Mario Brothers. I guess someone from CMU, I want to say, Carnegie Mellon, wrote a research paper about programming a game to play Nintendo games, or not a game, programming an algorithm to play Nintendo games, but not in the way that you could program it. Like, I guess the like you could program it to play a very specific game, like, you know, if Super Mario, you just program in essentially whatever you do when this condition happens or that condition happens, so you jump whenever you see one of these guys and land on him and stuff like that. And he, instead of writing an algorithm that was like that, he wrote one that was much more generic, and it was based around like making a win condition out of just something based in the game. And so the thing that he based in the game was that there are certain numbers that go up, like your score or your position or things like that, and you want to play so those keep increasing at a really good rate. And then he used that generic of an algorithm to say, okay, now play Super Mario Brothers. So it was a really interesting paper. I mean, he did it in the form of a video, which I think helped a lot because I'm not about to read a paper.
Yeah. No, it's cool. I mean, I've seen where people have programmed, okay, the character to run through in the most efficient way to get through the game and complete a level. Whereas this, he designed it so it would learn to make it through the level. Like, it's not, I mean, eventually it got smoother, but it's more of a learning thing rather than a cheat thing.
Because you can figure out the best path of what to do, but rather than tell it the best path, it would kind of figure those things out on the way. So, like, one example of this is if you're playing World 1-1, as probably a lot of people that listen to this have, there's a mushroom that you that's on like a row of bricks, and then there's a brick above that mushroom, and the only way to get that would be to jump kind of backwards, not backwards, but to the left to get it. And jumping to the left is something that was very interesting because it's normally in that game you're going right. I mean, there's very few things that you go back for, but the algorithm had to be such that it could go backwards in order to, it would figure out, oh, sometimes I go backwards in order to make my score go up because I can break these bricks or turn them into coins or whatever. And it's really interesting how little programming it took to do that, because it sounds like he didn't have to tell it, jump and then go left or anything like that. It's just there are inputs that go into the game, like pressing A or whatever. And sometimes when you press A and move to the right, you progress. And when you stop progressing, sometimes you have to press A and move to the left. It's like, what? I just found the programmatic aspect fascinating. And then what was really cool was he applies it to other games unmodified. So he just takes the code that worked for Super Mario Brothers. It was able to play all the way through like three levels worth of Super Mario Brothers. And then he just applied it to a bunch of different games, and just let it go just to see if it would react well. And I guess it doesn't in some games, but it worked really well for Hudson's Adventure Island, which I always thought was kind of a Super Mario like also ran. It was just it's a side scroller, you're going again to the right, and you jump over stuff, and you kind of jump on things in order to kill them. And so, as you might guess, it plays very similarly to Super Mario Brothers. So because of that, the algorithm works very similarly. And I guess a lot of the Nintendo games were just like that, where you're side scrolling, moving left to right. Yeah, there's just a lot of games that were like that. But what was really, I thought was interesting was he let it play Bubble Bobble, which isn't a side scroller, and it did really well at that too. I guess there's a function that he would play. He would play like a couple levels, so it would get a baseline on what things were considered increasing, like what scores or what was the desired way of playing, and then he would let the algorithm run. And he said that for Bubble Bobble, it would play beyond where he programmed it to, essentially. So he would play like a level or two, and then it would play a level or two, but it would actually get further than that, which meant that it was it had figured out the win conditions beyond that. So it's
well,
cool.
Let's just hope the win conditions don't change to world domination.
Well, so the interesting thing about this was that he put a fair amount of computational power against Nintendo. And he even mentioned that, you know, the original Nintendo has something like 2K of RAM. So I like to think that, you know, the amount of work to do this was hopefully substantial. I'd like to think that, you know, the Earth's kind of government systems and stuff take more than 2K of RAM, in other words.
Well, maybe some governments. First Bubble Bobble, then the world.
Watch out, North Korea. Or rather, North Korean terrorists.
I will leave the North Koreans to you this week.
Yeah. Oh, well, you can only have so much vendetta, I guess. What are you going to do? Anyway. So yeah, I thought that was good. I think you're right though. There was some amount of programming though involved. Like he would have to play a couple levels. I don't think or I'd hope we wouldn't program a computer by saying, "Hey, let's figure out how to run this nuclear power plant. Let me show you how it works for a little bit." I feel like that's a bad
idea. Overthrow this city, and then it's overthrow this county, and then it's...
Yeah, that's not the algorithm I want to teach my computers. So, so in other words, don't show missile command to that algorithm.
Yes. Keep those separate.
Maybe asteroids would be okay, though, right? Because, you know, we want it to be pretty good at handling asteroids, but maybe not Frogger.
Frogger.
Anything that involves vehicles, I just feel like it could be. Oh no, that's it. You put it in charge of Frogger, and then the cars are driven by the self-driving Google cars, and then the computers could fight.
So BattleBots.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm okay with BattleBots. BattleBots is okay.
Well, because there's a human controller.
Yeah, appropriate use of AI is BattleBots. Okay, I'm gonna change the order slightly, only because we've been talking about BattleBots. Another thing that came out this week was, I guess someone made an open source built quadcopter kit. It's a company in Sweden, it looks like, that built it, and they're selling it, and they sold through like their first two batches of 500 in record time, and now there's a waiting list for how many did you say it was?
I think it was a little over 1,000.
Yeah. And so these quadcopters are they're like
freaking awesome.
$150 or so. They look like they're about the size of like a
It's about the size of your hand, smaller than your hand.
Yeah, they look tiny. I mean, they fit in your hand, and so you can and it looks like you control them with what looks like a PlayStation controller. And I guess it comes with enough flight algorithms that you just plug the transmitter into a laptop and then run the software and they fly. And it has some small amount of range. I mean, they're small, so they can't carry a whole lot, but it looks like you can stick a camera on them, and mm-hmm. it can do like a live video feed over the over the air, and then
so it's a mini perv bot.
And yeah, it looks really maneuverable. I mean, the video that the demo video they show has it going all over the place. And there are also a lot of things built into how it can fly. I mean, it has sensors for direction and all that kind of stuff. And they even had it flying in kind of a wind, and it can hold up to that. And so it looks like they could even get it to fly based on like a program seeing it. So they had one shot where it was a camera watching the drone, and I guess they had made a pre-programmed flight path, and by the webcam looking at the drone, the computer could direct it along that flight path just by looking at it.
Yeah, see, I don't like that.
Yeah. It was fine when it was PS3 controller, but as soon as the computers get involved in flying it, it gets a little too much.
Yeah, no, that makes me uncomfortable.
We have to shoot him down with the ship-mounted laser from last week, I think.
Or was that, I don't know if we could.
Yeah,
I don't know, but they're pretty small. I don't know.
So that's the thing, right? They're so small. I mean, they don't seem quiet, which is probably for the best, because
yeah,
I want to see them
silent quadcopter.
Right, right. As soon as someone makes the stealth version of these things, it all bets are off. I'm like carrying fly swatters with me and tennis rackets or something.
One of those little electrified fly swatters.
Oh yeah, right. Because you have to be able to, you know, you hit them, but then you also have to, you know.
I want to have to hit it once. That's it.
Right. I think they are cool. They look like they'd be a lot of fun to play with. And they seem too cheap to be real. It was like $150.
I think it's like 170 something.
Yeah. But you do have to put it together.
Yeah, you do have to put it together yourself. I think once the wait list is, you know, in the positives, and I have some disposable income, I will be buying one. It looks really fun.
We'll have to get one for the podcast.
Yeah, we'll expense it.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure how we would use it to promote the podcast, but we'll find a way.
Well, when we get business cards, then we can put it on there and just bomb air bomb people with them.
One by one.
It's like dropping leaflets.
Oh, we should put a speaker in it, and then it could fly around and play the podcast. Like,
that would not be annoying at all. I would shoot it down.
We could program it to follow people using image recognition. And it would just follow people and play the podcast. Like,
that's some serious marketing. I'm not sure how comfortable I am with that. But we'll think about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We'll
talk
about that later.
Right. There are some bugs that need to be worked out. We'll, by the time the wait list comes down, we'll probably have figured out a good way to use it. But that. And speaking of a good way to use... use funds and resources. In Oregon, apparently, it's been. I think it was in there. They have two kind of legislative bodies, and one of them passed it unanimously to make brewer's yeast the official state microbe, which I didn't even know you needed a state microbe. But
I don't think you do. I don't think we have one here in California.
No. Well, as state-sponsored things go, brewer's yeast is pretty good. I think that's a good one to pick. You know, as far as microbes go.
I mean, it's not my favorite microbe, but it'll work.
What's your favorite microbe? What would that be?
I don't know. Yeah, it's probably my favorite microbe.
Right?
If I could think of another microbe, maybe not, but it's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, or, Lactobacillus. I'll think of it. That one's pretty good, right? The one that that makes milk, kind of milk, or...
Oh, that's not as good as brewer's yeast.
I think it's
Beer is way
also
better than milk.
the one that makes sourdough sour, though.
Oh, it's a good tag team.
Yeah.
Sourdough and beer.
California should jump on that one, actually, because, the San Francisco sourdough could work. But I'm sure
Yeah,
all
but
the
there's so many
SoCal
people on no
people.
carb diets.
Yeah. For a guy on a no carb diet, I think about carbs
Oh, funny how that works.
But yeah, like what state is gonna get screwed with like chlamydia?
New Jersey.
Oh,
No, sorry, that's not right. Nevada.
microbe you want. You just don't want that one.
No.
No. This is why states don't have
That's
state
the
microbes.
national microbe of North Korea.
Oh, yikes.
Sorry,
Oh.
I couldn't help it.
Okay. Well,
Got it out of my system.
yeah.
Okay.
We both got
What I
our.
was going to say, not the disease. I never had that. I want to say it was the statement I got out of my system, not that microbe, because it was never there in the first place. Just making that very clear.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Or that microbe.
Oh, what other? See, it's not state sponsored. That's not the
No.
thing you want to say. State sponsored microbe. That doesn't sound right. Well,
Chlamydia brought to you by Nevada Gambling.
yeah. You pretty much only say state sponsored when you're talking about terrorism.
Terrorism.
So it's a state representative, I guess.
It's a state symbol.
Yes. That's the one.
Like, California's state beverage is wine.
Really?
Apparently.
Boring.
Hey, I live in wine country.
Yeah. I guess there's wine country near me too, but not that near. Not really. And it's also
I
not
normally
really
just drink
wine country.
wine, but
It's
when I
like,
do, I prefer beer.
yeah. Yeah, who gets beer? I guess Milwaukee. Where's Milwaukee? I can do that.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, there we go. No, they got cheese. They're not gonna choose beer.
Well, you can have more than one thing.
Oh, they're right. It would be the state beverage, right?
Like, our state fish is the golden trout. Actually, we have two. The freshwater is the golden trout. The saltwater is the Garibaldi, which might be one of my favorite fish ever.
Oh, what's a Garibaldi?
This is this orange fish. I say it has a cool name.
Okay.
They live in California, in the water.
Oh, I like how we have, that's good that we have a saltwater fish and a freshwater fish because we have a coastline. So
Not
like
like those lame states.
you wouldn't have a saltwater fish in like Nevada.
No.
No.
But you could in Utah.
Oh, good point. In that lake of theirs, it's so great. Great lake.
Although I don't think it's correct that our state grass is purple needle grass. I think we all know what the official grass of California is. And it's not blue
Fescue,
grass.
right? Blue Fescue?
What? Is that English? Is that I've never heard that word in my life.
That's what I
I'm
have
learning all
on
kinds of things today.
my lawn is blue fescue, FESCUE.
Mine's grass.
I don't know. I don't know why it's called blue, because it's clearly not blue. It's green. I mean, duh. But yeah, fescue. It's
Okay.
supposedly a California
Is that some sort of
native.
sativa?
No.
Or is that an indica?
Oh, I'm not actually up on those.
Not familiar.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What are we talking about right now?
Grass.
Grass. So yeah, California grass.
Is that what this podcast has come to? What are you talking about? Grass? It's really growing quite slowly. Did you ever say that watching grass grow, but you ever listen to grass grow?
Well, you know, podcast, you have to try everything, right?
Up here in the cloud.
While
In
we're growing
podcast land.
grass in the cloud, listening to grass growing in the cloud.
Are we going to do a special episode on Friday?
Or Saturday, Saturday.
Or, well, yeah, but, well, since we'll actually be seeing each other in person on Friday.
Will be fun. For those that listen to the podcast, if you're not doing anything Friday, you happen to be in San Francisco in the vicinity of Cobb's Comedy Club.
But really, if you're in San Francisco, you can get to the vicinity of Cobb's Comedy Club pretty easily.
Yeah, we're going to be going to the Doug Benson countdown to April 20th. I believe that's the name of the show.
Yeah, it's the
Yeah,
midnight
it's something like
April
that.
20th 420 countdown show.
Yes.
Something like that. Something like that.
I never noticed that. Huh. But yeah, we're going to be down there with a few friends of the podcast. In fact, both the composer and the artist behind the
Yes, the whole pretty much the whole crew will be there.
podcast.
All the brains behind the podcast.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty cool. That'll be fun. I hope we can, I don't know, even if it's just with like my phone or something, it would be nice to record something
Just do a
from that.
mini-sode or something like
Yeah.
that. Since we are going to see Doug Benson, who his podcast helped inspire me to start a podcast. So it's
The
kind
circle is complete.
of.
Does that mean you have to, like, lightsaber him down at the end of the show or something?
We might burn him down, burn one down. I don't know.
It's something.
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 Lightsaber. Use the force.
Oh, did you hear about a Course of the Force this year?
Starting in San Francisco or
Yeah.
Marin.
Yeah, that's speaking of lightsabers, right?
I might do it. I don't know.
That's
I think
pretty
it
cool.
costs a bit of money, though.
Oh, I haven't looked to see how much the run segments are.
It is for charity.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, Course of the Force is a charity relay race. Last year it was from, I think it was Santa Barbara to San Diego.
Or this, I think it was the Santa Monica Pier or something
Oh,
like that.
okay. Oh, well, that's not that far. I mean, it is. It's kind of far, but so I guess this year they're running it, starting it at well,
So the
I actually
Skywalker
thought it was
Ranch.
Skywalker Ranch in Marin.
I think it is.
Okay, and they're running a relay race down to San Diego Comic Con. And
You don't
the
have to run the whole way. It's a relay.
and the baton that they're passing is a lightsaber. And I guess you can buy quarter mile or mile long segments. Maybe not miles. I mean, we are talking about Star Wars fans.
I think it's pretty short.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just looking online right now. Actually, it's like 150 bucks,
Oh, that's not
and
bad.
that includes a customized Hasbro lightsaber and a
Oh.
swag bag and the experience of a lifetime, according to their website, which is done by Nerdist and LucasArts. Or
Yeah, so it probably looks okay.
Lucasfilm. Lucasfilm, not
Right. Not
LucasArts.
LucasArts. Eek.
Oh.
Oh, I will pour my virtual 40 out on the curb for LucasArts. I was a huge LucasArts fan growing up.
We'll have to pour out some blue milk for our homies
Did you play any LucasArts games?
Yeah, I played most of the ones they released in the 90s.
Okay.
A
So
big fan
like
of X-Wing.
the adventure games or the Star Wars
The
like.
Star Wars games.
Okay. So I mean I played those as well. I really liked X-Wing. I really liked TIE Fighter. I didn't play X-Wing versus TIE Fighter very much, but But I also just love the adventure games they did. And I guess when Disney doesn't want something, it really doesn't want it.
Nope.
So yeah, they cut that entire department
So
and
much for a Star Wars 1313,
yeah.
which looked kind of sweet.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I think it had some possibility with building it. I mean, I do think that they when they switched over to pretty much a Star Wars games company only, I thought that was kind of sad because I feel like they had a lot more potential. But of all the things that were coming out of there, I thought that was a decent looking game. At least they were being interesting with the property and not just kind of rehashing or remixing some of the stuff that they'd done in the past. Like, I feel like there was, oh, some, well, I mean, it was a bounty hunter kind of focused game, which means that hopefully you weren't it wasn't going to be just, you know, the Jedis running around doing stuff, because I feel like they overdo how well, they both overdo and underdo how Jedis work. Like, they're essentially invincible, except in these weird conditions where you die like immediately. So there's it's a really kind of a, you know, it's the Madonna whore complex of of the Star Wars universe.
They did do that combo project with BioWare when they made Knights of the Old Republic,
Okay,
the first one, and I really enjoyed that game.
yeah, and that played like a BioWare game. Now that I think about it, very much so. I didn't know that
One of the best twists ever. I'm not gonna spoil it. Spend the 40 hours and play it yourself.
Or, you know, those things are going to be collector's items. You got to run around and get them.
I think actually twists in video games are bigger than twists in movies because you're only invested in a movie for 90 minutes to 2.5 hours, and the twist doesn't always come right at the very end. But in a video game like your RPG, that can take 30, 40 hours to beat.
And during that time,
You're
you're all.
actually contributing to what's happening to the character, so you're more invested.
Right, you're literally building those characters. It's not like you're watching them being built. You're directly contributing to how those characters get built. And
My
so,
creation has been betrayed.
Oh, speaking of which, Walking Dead just got real for me. The game. I won't spoil what it is because it is a really good game. I think we've talked about it like the last 3 weeks or something.
You need to beat that game so we can stop talking about
Yeah.
it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I will do my best sometime soon. I guess though, if I because when I play, I need to play for like a very long amount of time. I can't just play for a little bit and then put it down. When I start playing it, it's just like I have to complete that whole segment, which is pretty much, you know, 3 hours worth of playing in a block. But it's been a while since I've played a game that I could not put down like that. I feel like a lot of other games, I'm comfortable kind of just dropping it where it wherever it is.
Well, I stopped playing Assassin's Creed 3 months ago. I
Yeah,
still
me
haven't
too.
finished it.
Yeah, me too.
It was exciting when I started, and then it was like, oh yeah, it's still Assassin's Creed. It still gets repetitive.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like I used to play. There used to be more games that would suck me in, and I would just disappear for like a few hours to play. And it's probably better that I don't do that anymore. But
Because you have a life.
yeah, something like that. And a job, actually. That contributes heavily towards me not spending all
Darn
day.
jobs getting in the way.
Yeah.
Although I love my job. If anyone's listening, I'm not saying I don't want my job. Love my job. I have my priorities straight.
Right. So one interesting thing I saw this week that's kind of relating to, you know, disappearing for a while and then, you know, not Yeah, disappearing from the world. I guess the Google is turning on a. I forget how they're what they call it.
The inactive account manager.
Yeah, which is I've heard it called a dead man switch for your your Google account, which I had only ever heard. Have you heard that term, dead man switch, for other
not
things?
Not relating to this.
So I heard of it for, I think it was for like trains is what they were called. They were called dead man switches because if you died while you were operating them, you it would let off the throttle essentially. So you couldn't fall asleep at the wheel and, you know, the train would keep going. And so the thing for these accounts is if you don't check in for some amount of time, it assumes, I guess it assumes you're dead or it assumes you've otherwise passed on. And so it has to, it gives you the opportunity to kind of decide what you want to do with your accounts in the event that you don't use them anymore for whatever reason.
Yeah, whether you want to delete them or have them passed on to other people to manage.
Which I think is kind of morbid, but at the same time, really necessary for a lot of things. I mean, the amount of kind of personal data that you put out on the internet in some way or another. I mean, maybe it's not out like it is at Facebook where it's semi-publicly available. Like your email, I would hope, is still your email and you want control over it, or you want someone to be in control over it if you are no longer in control of it. So I think it's an interesting step for them. It's probably, I mean, it's not like a full step for everything because it's really just Google account. But that's still a lot. I mean, Google has been kind of upping their ante for stuff that they control or stuff that you contribute to them. And so, you know, by making almost a, like, not a will exactly, but some kind of digital estate planning, I think is a responsible step on their part.
Well, if I do happen to pass, Alan, you have my permission to go all Office Space on my computer. Actually, as soon as possible, I would like you to go Office Space on my computer. Or no, fire, whatever. It's your call. Give it a Viking funeral.
Right.
Like, I would like a Viking funeral.
But it
needs... Actually, you know, just throw it in the boat with me.
Right. There we go. Okay. I'll do my best. Of course, I would say the same, but I'm backed up like four ways into the cloud. It probably wouldn't go very well.
I'm taking down the cloud.
Yeah,
I need you to crash the cloud.
Yeah, I need you to just pull every internet cross connect between here and San Francisco.
See, what you need is what was that thing from Dark Knight Rises? The clean slate.
Oh yeah.
So the program that will delete all of your digital existence.
Oh, I would prefer the thing from Live Free or Die Hard, which was the fire sale.
Wait, how does that work with getting rid of your stuff?
No, it gets rid of everybody's stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh, so if you go, everything goes.
Right. It's like the Fight Club. The Fight Club thing, the Project Mayhem thing in Fight Club to reset all the banks.
No, I'm fine with fire sale. Yeah, I'll get to work on that.
Yeah, although if the fire sale kicks in, does that make us vulnerable to the North Koreans at that point?
Yes, it would. See, now you're just putting the nation at risk. I just wanted to protect my privacy and everyone's opinion of me after I'm gone.
That's what you need. You need the what you.
I just don't want to incriminate myself.
Right.
Not that there's anything illegal on my computer.
What you need to do is set
other
up
than all
a.
the music and
You need to set up
movies
a.
and TV shows.
Oh, what are they called? Degaussing ring. So you set up a big magnet, essentially, that goes over your door. So if someone wants to take your computer out of your house for evidence, kind of tracking purposes, it's immediately wiped as it leaves the building.
I think we talked about that in one of my beginning computers classes. That we were talking about internet security, and the only way you can really be secure is to do that.
But I feel like even then the hard drives can still be read at least maybe partially reconstructed, because you're even a deleted file can be reconstructed to some degree if you have enough equipment.
No, this is what it was. A guy hit. Our teacher was telling us about this guy who rigged up a system where if you entered the incorrect password, I think it might have been once, maybe even once, but I think it was like two times. Then there would be a big magnet hanging above the computer that would drop and smash it, like hidden in the ceiling.
Magnets. I love it. That's what we need.
That's what's going to save humanity when the machines rise. Is start buying magnets. Put your money into magnets, not gold.
Electromagnets
But
should be
yeah,
a
don't keep
thing.
them near your computer. And yes, your iPod is a computer. Don't keep it next to that.
So you need with the little quadcopters, they should sell like the companion self-destruct magnet that comes with it. So
We need to put our money together and buy a mine shaft up in the mountains and start stockpiling magnets. Magnets and bullets.
magnetic bullets.
Whoa. You just blew my mind.
We'll keep some of that for this weekend, and yeah, well, we hope, like I said, we hope to record a little bit this weekend if you're listening to this between now and Friday and find a way to get out there to meet us, we'd love to meet you.
Yeah, I think there's still tickets as of Tuesday night.
Yeah. It would be cool. We have to do more not a thing podcast
Yes. We should actually do one that we organize for real.
And maybe have some swag, maybe.
Yes. When we start having swag, we will start having meetups.
There we go. That works. Well, good enough, Brendan. Thanks for spending 43 or so minutes today.
Right in the Goldilocks zone.
I'll talk to you next week, or this Friday, rather.
Yes, I will talk to you this Friday. I will talk to you later.